Open your word to us tonight as we dive into this teaching, Lord. We pray that you would give us greater insight and revelation as it relates to forgiveness. God, open our ears to hear what you're saying to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in that holiday season, and for some people, it is a really blessed season, and for others, it's a very difficult season. There's a lot of hurt that can really diminish the Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year season. Some people really look forward to it. Some people really don't, because there's so many family hurts. There's so many relational breakdowns. And so just even thinking of that, the Lord has laid this message on my heart. But also as somewhat of a follow-up to my last few messages, when I preached at the gathering a couple weeks ago called the Here Gathering, I shared that I felt the Lord was highlighting disillusionment, and that He wanted us to address that, that He wanted us to overcome the disillusionment that can just jade us. We thought things were going to go a certain way, and they didn't, and we got hurt. And so how do we move forward? And that's just something that we all have to journey through. And one of the ways we journey through it is we walk with a revelation of forgiveness. The problem is, though, that forgiveness has become so cliche in the church that we don't even recognize that we're not living it. It's a really intense reality, and it's very painful at times to release people when they've gravely wounded us. And it is a very important reality. And so I'm going to just touch on a couple of different foundational truths tonight. But this is a big deal. This topic is very important. And I've found in 20 years of ministry that a lot of people don't really get a hold of forgiveness, and that's why they're weighed down in bitterness, or that's why they've just stayed in a place of they're just increasingly angry, or they're not, maybe not overtly, but subtly, they just get stuck there and they don't know why. And it really has a lot of times to do with releasing forgiveness or not releasing forgiveness. That hinges on that. In Colossians 3:12-13, Paul says, he's pleading with the church in Colossus, and he says, after saying verse 11, he says verse 12, he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," you've been elected by God to be a Christian, and since you have been, since you're holy, since you're beloved by the Lord, he says, "Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness." I mean, this list is awesome. get a hold of this list. He says, "Bear with one another." And then he says, "Forgive one another." And he says, "If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Paul says, when you have this thing in you where you're just wanting to complain against people because they've hurt you or wronged you or whatever they've done, he says, remember what Christ did for you. This really is the key of forgiveness, because we all get tempted to get angry. Oh my gosh, that person didn't notice me. Oh my, this happened to me, and that boss did that, and all these things. We've all gone through these things, or our spouse, or our children, or our neighbor. I mean, it goes all the way down the line. And Paul says, when you get that to that place, because we all do, he goes, remember, think about what Jesus did for you. This is huge. And really, as I put here in letter B, when we think about the topic of forgiveness, we really need to think about what Jesus has forgiven us of. Because when we really get that, forgiving others becomes really... it becomes less intense, less of a big deal, less difficult is what I'm trying to say. So we start with what Jesus did for us, and that helps us to release true forgiveness. And I'm going to go share a parable here in a minute, what Jesus preached on forgiveness. But in before I get into these foundational truths, we just have to remember what He did for us. And this is kind of the way I think of it this way. If God were to give us a message on forgiveness, this is what it would be. This is like when God came out of heaven and said, hey, this is the message on forgiveness. He taught this parable. And it's in Matthew 18. And this is what he taught. I mean, this is so important to really think about and get down. But in Matthew 18, 21, I'll just read some Bible here because the Bible's it's the truth. It's the best. There's nothing better than Bible. So hopefully it's okay. I preach some Bible at you. Peter, as he always does, he's probably, walking around going, what's the most intense question I can ask Jesus, He's wanting to heap up some really deep theological question, and he wants to talk to Jesus about forgiveness, and so he's like, Jesus, I'm wondering how much we should forgive people. Is it seven times? And I'm sure he thought that was a whole lot. He's thinking, I'm going to get him. I'm going to ask him a question where he's going to be impressed. Peter's trying to, he's been reproved a few times. He's trying to get it right. And this is how we're all like. I mean, imagine if Jesus was just at your church and you saw him every Sunday. You'd kind of want to impress him a little bit or something. And so I'm sure Peter was doing that. Maybe not. I don't know. But I just think it'd be funny if he did. But he goes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, when someone sins against me, when my brother hurts me or sins against me, how many times do I forgive that person if they keep hurting me? Seven times? I mean, I'm sure he's thinking four, five, six, seven times. And sometimes I just want to pause there and act like I'm one of the apostles in the room thinking, I wonder what he's going to say. Maybe it is seven. Yeah, that's a cool number. I mean, but Jesus says, I just love Jesus. I just love his answers. He says, I don't say to you seven times. What's he going to say? Six, eight, 70 times seven. Oh, the mathematician in the corner is starting to calculate that, and everybody's like, what? That's 490 times. So what Jesus is saying is there's an unlimited forgiveness. You never have the right to not forgive. He says there's not a, you don't keep a okay, Johnny, you hurt me six times, now it's seven, and now I won't forgive you anymore. Jesus says no. This is something we do as Christians. If you want to be my disciple, you always forgive. That is your right. He says this teaching here, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like this. A king who, and I'm going to paraphrase as I go, a king wants to settle accounts. These are financial accounts with his servants. He goes out and he finds a man who owes him a great deal of money. And he says, pay me right now. And the guy says, I can't. That's way too much money. I ran up this huge thing and I cannot pay you. And so the man was going to be sold. Him and his wife and his kids were going to be sold into slavery. And so that's a hugely, just massive, unfortunate reality. But that's what they did back then. That was real. If you couldn't pay up and you owed money, they could sell you and your possessions and your children, your wife. And that's what they were going to do in this made-up story. But that was the reality in that culture. And the guy, it says he gets down before him and he begs and he says, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you. And it says that the master, the king, had compassion. And it says he forgave the debt. He released him and he forgave the debt. Okay, so he has this huge debt. He begs the king, and the king says, okay, I'm so rich anyways. I honor that. Okay? So that's the picture of what Jesus has done for us. And we can never make this a cliche. Jesus is the king, and we're that person with a $1 trillion debt of sin. Okay, we didn't just do a few bad things. We are born into a sin nature and we perpetually sin. And so that equates to massive debt. There's no way we can get into heaven. And when we turn to the Lord, he recognized that is a a debt that is, no one can get out of that debt. It's as if it were trillions of dollars. There's no way you could get out of it. And Jesus says, I completely forgive that sin. Once you turn to me and follow me, and you're saved, you're a born-again Christian, the debt is lifted, and you're free of it. But we have to know it was like a trillion-dollar debt. I mean, and that's not even, it was a trillion to the trillionth power debt of sin. There's just a massive, we can't even fathom the level of it. And God just says, it's no longer your debt. I will take it. I will pay it. You're free. And we have to appreciate that as Christians. We have to appreciate how much he took from us. Because we were not able to get in. There's no way we're getting into heaven, no matter how good we live. Thousands upon ten thousands upon millions of bad attitudes and motives and desires and sin nature equals a horrifying, tainted heart that never gets in. We can never get into the presence of a holy God in a perfect place called heaven with that debt of sin. But Jesus says, I'll take it all on me at the cross. That's the picture he's trying to paint here. And that's who we are. We pleaded, Lord, I want you in my life. Okay, if you turn to me, one of the benefits is I take all your debt, it's gone. And we won't even fully realize it until we get to heaven and he shows us how bad it really was. But we truly deserved hell. We were in a debt of sin that would put us in eternal punishment. And Jesus says, I just take it from you. You're good. You're free. But then he goes on and says, but that servant who was forgiven, what does he do? He turns around. He sees another person that owes him money, like $10. So he has this billion, trillion-dollar debt forgiven, but then he turns around, and I'm making up figures here, but it's way cheaper than what he owed, and he's like, hey, you know, you owe me $100 or $10 or $20. Definitely pay me back. And the guy says what he said to his king. Please have patience with me. I'll pay you back. And the guy says, no. I'm going to throw you in prison until you pay me my debt. And so he did not forgive that man, though he was forgiven a huge debt. And this is where Jesus starts preaching. Oh, man. It says, the fellow servants see what had been done, and they were grieved. That's interesting that that's in the story, too. When we see someone, you know, a Christian that's been forgiven of so much debt by Jesus, go and mistreat people, and I mean, they don't forgive others, it grieves people. I mean, it's obvious. We don't want to be doing that. But then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you because you begged me. You should have known to do that to that guy. You should have had compassion on him too. And it says the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. This is what Jesus says. This is the lips of the living God. It says this, my heavenly Father will do this to you if you don't from your heart forgive your brother of his trespasses. Oh, what a statement. Lord, truly. My heavenly Father will do this to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So let's go down to number three here. Foundational truths. I am trying to spare a few people of a lot of grief that is unnecessary. I really would urge you to take heart this message. In verse 22, when Peter says, Lord, is it seven times? Jesus responds, 70 times seven. I've said this, I'll just repeat it. The first truth we have to know about forgiveness is that it is unlimited. In other words, Jesus doesn't dangle our debt over our head when we mess up. When we blow it and we repent, He continues to forgive us, and he never brings up that massive debt that he paid back here. He never brings it back over our head and say, if you sin again, I will reapply this debt to you. Never will he do this. Even though it was very severe, he never will reapply that debt ever. And so it's very important that we don't do something like that to someone else. Welcome, brother. It is never in our right to say, hey, bro, you've hurt me a few times. And you hurt me again. So now, this time, I am going to start to hold it against you. We're no longer going to be friends. And, you know, or however you, you know, whatever it goes like. But there's never a point, whether it's 12 or 18 or 72, I mean, you never keep count. But if people hurt you, we never have the right ever to say, I don't forgive you. It should be the most quick thing out of our mouth, I forgive you. It should always be this way. We never, never, never will have the right to say, that $10 debt, I demand you to pay that to me. When the $1 trillion debt has been graciously forgiven. We always have to remember, whatever someone does to us will never compare to the way we put Jesus on the cross with our sin. It wasn't just all of general sin. It was my sin and your sin that crucified him. He had to do that because of your sin and my sin. So let me say it a different way. I, Derek Kistner, was involved in putting him on the cross. And he willingly went for me, but my sin is what had to, you know, be taken care of. And you have to know that about yours as well. We wronged him. We wronged God by our decisions. And so he paid the debt, so we can't turn around and be like, hey. So Peter might have been trying to be clever, but we got a real... I mean, I'm glad he asked the question. I'm glad Peter did a lot of the things he did because he got rebuked, and then we get to take that truth and live it. I would have thought maybe, you know, I'll forgive you a few times, dude, but not like my whole life. You know, but Jesus says 70 times 7. That's a way of saying there's no limit. Okay, we don't get to, oh, 491, I've been counting. Now I don't have to forgive you, technically. No, we sin 490 times a day and we don't even realize it. And he keeps forgiving us. We need to keep forgiving others. So it's unlimited. Never, never do we want to get into that business of kind of, yeah, I don't know if you deserve it this time. We just release people. Now, in verse 35, he talked about forgiving from the heart. So truth number two, first, it's unlimited. Second, it's heartfelt. Doesn't mean we have to feel it every time, but it is from the heart. So we never have the right to tell someone, I forgive you, bro, but then harbor the grudge in our heart, which is very common. Oh, yep, I totally forgive you, but in my heart I hate you. We never have the right to do that. Although that's very common, we don't have the right to do that. That's not discipleship. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus isn't up in heaven going, oh, I technically forgive you, but I really despise you. I just have a hunch he's not doing that. We cannot harbor these grudges in our heart against people. He says, yes, say it with your mouth, believe it in your mind, but also be free in your heart. And I'll talk about how to get there as well. But it's not like, okay, give them lip service, do the technical thing, but then in your heart, hold on, harbor all that stuff. Guys, Christianity is about the heart getting free. It's not lip service. It's not mental agreement. It's about true reality of freedom on the inside, where you feel differently. Isaiah talked about, and Jesus reiterate, the drawing near with lips, but the heart's far from me. Jesus died so we'd have a heart reality. Not just so we could say things that are neat and sound great at church and all that. You know, say, okay, say the cliche, I forgive you. No, he says, I want that in you and being real in you so you're actually not mad at those people anymore. It's real. Christianity is not fake it till you make it. Christianity is you truly do change for real. And you're not mad anymore. You actually love that person and you want the best for them, no matter what they did. Now, here's the thing. Saul was actually killing people Jesus loved. And Jesus goes, welcome to the team, brother. You'll do great. Peter really denied Jesus, and Jesus says, go ahead and be an apostle again. I mean, there's so many people that Jesus had to forgive, and it was a little more like we get that, but he does the same with us, and we have to do it with others. Now, when we don't walk in a revelation of forgiveness, we inevitably get self-righteous. We don't really think we sinned that bad in the first place. We don't really think we sin at all, really. I mean, I don't like kill people or anything. And we tend to just get this elevated view of ourselves, and we get kind of, you know, not so tender toward others. Jesus goes, just know, you had a huge debt. And it's only by my mercy that you continue to walk in a good way. I don't want to like make it a bummer, but we all sin almost perpetually, not even knowing it. And I don't know if that's new to you or not, but every attitude and thought and feeling that's not in perfect alignment with God's will is sin. It misses the mark. And God's aware of all of them. And that's why I mean, I don't want you to be religious about this, but every once in a while, just get on your face and say, Lord, I know there's so much darkness in me, but you love me. Cleanse me in a fresh way. I know you love me, but just don't be condemned about it, but just know there's so much darkness. Even as a born-again, new Christian, new creation, we still have that old man that operates. We have all those things that go on in our mind, and it's way more than we really know. And so that's to keep us humble. That's to keep it real. But Jesus just so honors us and loves us despite that being who we are. So Jesus says, 490, unlimited. Do it from your heart. And he says, make it a permanent fixture in your life. I want to back up and just say this real quick before I go on to that one. When we really forgive, I mean someone who's wounded us, we want the best for them. We want that person to succeed in life. And I really urge you all to get to that place. The person you're thinking of right now, or the two or the three people, or the person you'll think about as you think about the message, when you can sign up for, I want that person to really excel in God, you're starting to touch the fullness of forgiveness. When that person's always like, ugh, I hate that guy, but I forgive them. That kind of whole thing is not, you're not fully, and I don't know, we never fully arrive at the highest level of forgiveness, but he's wanting us to turn the corner so we can bless and want the best for those people. And the more that we release those people and ask God to bless them and make them the best that they're called to be, the more God can truly intervene in their life and do whatever he wants to do. I'll stay on track here because I was going to go in another message, but let's go to number three. Forgiveness is permanent, verse 33. We never have the right to use it as future leverage. When we forgive, we don't, make up something, but We can't in the future say, remember that one time when you really hurt me? Huh? Yeah, so can you do me a favor? So I don't like go public with that. Like that whole game of using people's sins for leverage and all that people do, and it's called politics basically. I mean, we don't as Christians have the right to be like, yeah, I forgave you, but can you do me a favor in a couple of years and I won't say anything. That is just totally not what God does. We cannot say, I forgive you today, but in 10 years, if circumstances change and now I'm in debt and you're rich, I'm going to talk to you about what you did to me. No, it's permanent. When we say, we forgive you, say, I have tons of money and you don't and you owe me, so I cancel that, and then everything changes and I'm rich and you're not or whatever, you're rich and I'm not, however the story goes, I can't use that as leverage because I've forgiven that person. I can't use it. I can't bring it up. Some people kind of want to hold on to it. They keep it on the shelf for a rainy day. Maybe I'll take that out. And Jesus says, burn the scroll. put it in the fireplace, burn it, and you won't forget about it necessarily, but you can't use that. Because we're all in life going to go through some brutal stuff, right? No one's exempt from that. And when those top one or two or three brutal things become like, well, I'll keep that on the shelf just in case that person decides to do, you know, Jesus says, get out of that whole thing. That's going to create chaos in your mind. In fact, when Jesus talked about that person being delivered to the torturers, that was just part of the story. But I honestly think that that level of description is important to understand. When we do not forgive, there is an element of like torturous stuff in our soul and in our mind that we just get entrenched in. And we don't know how not to be angry. And we're, I mean, it's like our whole inner man goes haywire. And he goes, you don't want to allow the enemy to wreak havoc when you just don't forgive. He says, just forgive. Just burn the whole list. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that love keeps no records of wrong. When we keep records of wrong, and that's just filling our brain, and every time we run into certain people, we remember all the wrong things we did, that just creates chaos. It's torture. It really is torture. We can't love them. We can't do that. I mean, if I stopped and tried to remember all the hurtful things people did to me, I couldn't have coffee with anyone. I couldn't be happy. I mean, it would just... I'd run into, and you know, when you lead stuff, you know, you meet other leaders, and you know, you just, everywhere you go, you run into people you know, and it's just like, man, if I had to stop and be hurt every, you know. Jesus goes, here's the program. You just cancel all the debt. And you just clear the whole list, and you just keep no record, and you burn it, and you totally give it to me and trust me to do everything that needs to be done. Ultimately, when we don't forgive, what we're trying to do is we're trying to play God. We're trying to be the judge and the jury of people's lives, and we're taking it out of the hands of God. And God goes, you don't know how to do that. I'm God. If you get out of that business, I'll do it for you, and I'll do it in the perfect way and in the perfect time that's perfectly redemptive. And your heart will be rooted in love. They'll succeed. Everything will work in harmony with what I've called it to be. Man, when we don't forgive and we get stuck in that anger and then we get vengeful and then we try to take things into our own hands and we try to play God, oh my goodness, it gets really hard real quick. Don't go there. And if you're kind of tempted to get in there, get back out. Say, Lord, you checked me. I'm done. So it's unlimited. It's from our heart. It's really important to say, even though we don't feel it, I forgive you. Guys, I do this all the time. There's nobody in the room. Have a negative thought come to my mind? I forgive that person, Lord, again. Because we're, and I'll talk about this, we have so many emotions that are just so crazy. I'll be in a prayer meeting and all of a sudden I transport back to high school, someone mistreating me. How did that happen? What? The Lord's like, I want you to forgive that person. I forgive that person. Okay, that was weird, but it's really what happens. And so it's unlimited, heartfelt, permanent. Now I want to just make this kind of practical here. This is, and hopefully, I mean, you could do a lot more practical notes on this, but how do we really walk this out in daily life? Number one, if we want to truly forgive people, we have to acknowledge the reality of the situation. Guys, I've met too many people that live in denial. I'm going to pretend that didn't happen to me. Well, how's that working out? You're so hurt. I mean, for us to truly forgive people, we have to say, so-and-so brutally hurt me. And it was horrifying. And I am deeply wounded. Like, you have to acknowledge it really happened. And that's really good to do that. You know, you can't just scrape that under the carpet and hope it goes away. It does not go away. It gets worse. So you got to, first of all, acknowledge the hurt. If you're hurt, you say, I'm hurt. And if you don't know how to acknowledge it, get a friend and talk through it, you know, trusted leader, whatever. Accept the reality of it. And here's the thing. So many people have been taught this, that they're confused. They've been taught the whole forgive and forget reality that's not biblical. So I don't know if this is new to you, but I'm going to tell you what I feel the Bible makes very clear is you when you get hurt, you can't forget it. Okay, so to try to bury it, you're going to have to try to fake it or something. And I've met with so many people that this has been what they've gone through. You cannot forget what happened to you, and you're actually not supposed to. And that's why Jesus said 490, because you will remember every week, every month, every year, and you will have to say, man, I forgive that person because it was so brutal. And that's the truth of it. You can't ever forget the things that were most hurtful. And it's supposed to become a dialogue where you're when that emotion rises within you, I forgive them again. The married folk in the room, you know, you have lots of opportunities to say, I forgive them again. Because there's no one perfect in marriage. We get all kinds of great opportunities. The married folks say yes. But we don't stuff, whether it was a family member or a leader or a pastor or a boss or a coach, whatever it was, however bad it was, we acknowledge it was real and we can't forget it. You actually aren't supposed to. You're supposed to say, man, every time I remember that, I'm going to forgive them again. And here's the thing. It becomes less and less powerful over time to where you can actually think, you know what, God? As bad as that was, and as much as the enemy did that, you've used it to bring me closer to you, and now it's part of my testimony, and it's going to help others get free. That's the whole point of it. And you see the story of so many in the Bible. They get hurt over here, they go through the wilderness, and they're used to bring about, their testimony is used to set people free. So don't forgive and forget. Forgive and remember. And every time you remember those negative emotions, forgive and forgive and forgive. And the negative emotions will lose their power. But if you deny it and you try to bury it, it will always be there. And that's reality. It will always be there. Every time you remember it, and I try to forget it, stuff it down again. Next day it happens again. The day after that. The day after that. You have to acknowledge it. And if you can't do it on your own, talk to a trusted leader and say, I got to share something real brutal, but I need you to be with me. Don't take sides. Just pray with me because I want to get through this for real. Because this is the thing, guys. The most deeply hurtful things we go through will define our life one way or the other. Your whole life trajectory will either be, I just derailed there into bitterness, or I went completely to what God wanted to use that for. This is like where the why in the road happens, right here on this point. If we forgive and continue to forgive the reality 490 times, because that's, honestly, if we could count it at the end of our life, if we really walk it out, it'd be in the hundreds and thousands, where we keep forgiving those people. Those feelings will surface, but they lose their power. I said that. As we continue to acknowledge them and speak forgiveness and let the grudges go, we change. We become powerful. See, that whole hurtful thing or that sinful thing or those words that were spoken, they were intended by the enemy to derail us from becoming who we're called to be. To derail us from being powerful. But when we can even take the enemy's like nuclear assault on our life and we can say, you know what, that was brutal, but I forgive them and I'm moving forward. And not only that, I'm going to bless them and I'm going to let this be whatever God wants it to be. I'm telling you, we defeat the devil and we get so free as to help other people. And eventually what we find is that all of that was in the sovereign plan of God, although the enemy did it. God redeems it, and it becomes part of our testimony, and we help set people free in that area. So, I mean, whatever it was, we become a conduit of grace to other people in the same situation. So don't let hurt derail you. Forgive, 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 forgive. I'm going to say it 490 times, so no. You get the gist. Maybe you're living in that forgive and forget thing. And you'll hear it on Christian radio. You'll read it. You'll hear, But every time you hear people go, oh, you know, there's that forgive and forget thing in the Bible, it's not actually what the Bible says. Technically, what the Bible says is that when we're forgiven, God takes our sins, and when it says remember them no more, okay, so he doesn't, like, actually forget. All right, I'm not trying to burst a bubble here. I'm just saying God actually remembers everything. He's never going to be less than all-knowing, but he refuses to hold it against us. That's what he means by I never remember them anymore, in the sense of it's as if you never did it. I won't hold it against you. When those sins are cast in the sea of forgetfulness, it's done. It's never again going to be held against you. Yes, in the omniscience of God, he's aware, but it's never going to be used punitively against you ever. God knew before anything ever existed your whole life. He already knew every word you'd say, every sin, every choice of righteousness. He knew it all already. Before there was even a universe. Before it was just, when it was just him, he knew everything. And it was actually already done in his mind. He's so big. So this reality of like our life and the sins we commit, and it's just this little blip in the eternal spectrum. And he forgives you. And he doesn't hold them against you when you forgive. And when others hurt you, we must forgive them. It's a journey, okay? So letter B, it's a journey. We acknowledge our hurt, and we acknowledge that this is a personal journey. Most people, most of the time I'm saying, most people won't know they hurt you. This isn't a special situation. This is I'm just trying to help you practically. Most people that hurt you or me, they don't know they did it. And here's the thing, this is why it gets complicated, is because we all get like this. We can all get so offended so easily, and some of us more than others. And so what we'll do is they hurt me, and the Bible says I got to go meet with them. And so we try to do all these meetings, and they don't go the way we want it. So we're more hurt. But the Bible says to go to your brother, so we have another meeting. And I'm trying to tell you that there's no amount of meetings that's going to heal your heart. Never. Okay, so the Bible is calling us, go to your brother in those significant times where there's a real fracture and the person doesn't know, but you know, and it's one of those really important, go and tell him. But we don't do that for 100 times. We're offended all the time by stuff. Okay, so I don't want you to think that you go to your brother or your sister or your leader for every single one of them. Most of forgiveness, it's a journey between you and God. Yep, my brother hurt me again. Okay, I'm going to just totally forgive that. Yep, there she went again. She totally said that thing that makes me so mad. I forgive him again. And here's the thing. You do that, where you keep it between you and God, it loses its power. And then those people do those things that are sinful, and they don't even bother you anymore. But I'm telling you, if you let it get to you, and every time they do it, you got to have a meeting, and you got to call them, and you got to go to the pastor above them, and all these things, you will get so entrenched in trying to take vengeance and do all that. God says, just, there is the reality of go to your brother, but then there's also the reality of you got to walk this out in your own life between you and God. Because we live in a fallen world with fallen leaders, with a fallen church, with fallen family members, and you have to keep your heart in a place where you just forgive. You know how sinful you are. You're not surprised by their sin, and you just walk humbly, and you just let things go. I tell you, it's a really freeing place when you can just let 99% of things, you can just let it go. And now in the social media world, oh my goodness, if we can just let stuff go. Sometimes I get like, I'll see something posted, oh, I got to be the one guy that tells them, And Jesus is like, just let it go. But I have to inform them, no, you don't. Sometimes I try and sometimes it works, and I pray a lot about social media. You should pray a lot about social media, because we do have to be in on the debate at times. Be led by the Spirit. I mean, I'm not trying to make a huge comment on that. But my bigger point is when it comes to forgiveness, we can't pick every battle and go, okay, that person hurt me. 10 minutes later, that person hurt me. 13 minutes later, that person hurt me. I got 3 meetings already. Oh my goodness, the Bible says to go to your brother. Well, you're not going to have a life. So you got to make a choice. 99% of it, I let it go. And then when the Spirit really highlights, I really need to go have a meeting, go do it. And then just know that you're not going to have 15 follow-up meetings. Just go to the meeting, say, hey, you did this. I'm not even really sure if that's what you meant. I was hurt. You know, man, let's be friends again. And honestly, when people do this to me, I don't know I've hurt them. I mean, many times people have come to me, Derek, my goodness, you totally ignored me. I didn't even know you were there. I'm so sorry, but I'm glad you're saying something so we can be friends. You know, I mean, it's almost always like that. And so we just have to, you know, be those people, just let it, like right off, like what's the saying? Like water off a duck's tail, just let it, I don't know if that's the saying, but like water on a duck's back. Oh, do they have tails or backs? I don't know. It's both. So it's a journey. Walk out the forgiveness and pray if you need to meet. Sometimes you will, but mostly you won't. I can't say this enough. You can have 100 meetings and not be free. You can go to a meeting with you and God and be totally free. I don't want you to get the impression that I'm down on meetings. Actually, I am down on meetings. But when it comes to forgiveness, I mean, meetings in general, I don't like. I think they're a waste of time. Like, I think, sorry. But when it's about reconciliation and reconnecting, I had a meeting this week where I was like, I really need to meet with a person to make sure we're good. I mean, you kind of know, have those meetings. But we just, you know when you're in that place where you're just hurt by everything. You know, that's what Jesus' point to Mary and Martha when he went to their house. And he said, Martha, you're bothered by many things. If you do what Mary's doing, you won't be bothered by so much. You know what I mean? So he's saying, Martha, you're far from me. And because you're far from me, everything bothers you. God himself comes into your house and you're bothered. Like, you know what I'm saying? So Jesus is saying, get close to me, stay close to me, and nine out of 10 things just, they won't be that big of a deal anymore. And guys, I've been in seasons where I've been close to the Lord, and I've been in seasons where I'm far from the Lord, and when I'm far from the Lord, everything's worse. Everybody's against me, people are plotting against me, people are talking about me, hey, everybody's, you know, like, and it just, it's like, and like, none of it's true though. You know what I mean? But when we're close to the Lord, none of that has any weight anymore. And even if it's true, it doesn't bother us that much. Now, letter C, I threw this one in just to kind of be fun, but we need to remember that we're all so complicated. Every one of us. It's not the one lady, it's all of us. And so we're in good moods and bad moods and feeling great, not feeling great. Sometimes we go to worship and everything's awesome. And the next day we show up and we're mad at everybody. And so we just have to know about ourselves, to know ourselves, our own tendencies, that we can just be really jacked up at times. We're all wired differently. We can be completely like, I've had my coffee in the morning and I'm great and I'm reading A.W. Tozer and I'm happy. But then I get home and I'm like, I turn into a gremlin sometimes. Like, and then I come back to the house of prayer and I'm, you know, someone leading worship and I'm back in heaven. And, you know, it's like we need to know how human we are. And we need to remember how human other people are. And just give people space and grace to make mistakes. I honestly don't know. It's probably one or two or three times. I can't remember of any. Where someone like intentionally hurt me. I mean, it's just very rare. Now, it will happen, but I can't remember too many times where someone just got up in the morning and wanted to hurt me. You know what I mean? So those are brutal, but 99% of the rest of life is it's on accident. Just know that. People are complicated. They probably had a bad day. You know, the lady who gives you their coffee at McDonald's, you know, it seems like she's having a bad day. Just don't even get into it. Just don't even... Yeah, I could go off on that, but why even make it a battle? Oh, God bless you. See you later. Thank you for the coffee. You know, like, why can't we just move on? So, anyway, I had a really strategic and important meeting a couple weeks ago that I knew was God. And I'm on my way. I kid you not. I got cut off like 5 times. I pulled up next to a guy. He gets out of his car, starts taking pictures of my van. What is happening? And so many times I was like, you know, like, it's on, bro. You're taking pictures of my van. Like, what? You know, I'm like steaming. And the Lord's like, what are you doing? Just move on. You know, it was kind of like one of those King David moments where he was just about to make a brutal mistake. And then he kind of snapped back to, oh, yeah, it wouldn't be a good idea to kill all those people. Like, we just, things will happen in a given day. And I mean, I think road rage is funny right now. But people are just, oh, man. And I slip into it at times. I'm not saying I'm above it. But I'm just saying, man, we need to just be able to move on. Like the spirit of moving on. Just the grace of moving on sometimes is just so needed. And understanding that people, like, can you imagine trying to live in 2017 in the pressures we see without God? Can you imagine living in our country right now? I mean, with terrorism, with mass murders at churches and all these things, and having no hope at all. Can you imagine that? Like, the only way I keep going, I know I'm going to be in heaven forever one day, in a perfect body. I get up on Monday, I'll feel brutal, and I'll think to myself, I'll have a glorified body one day. I can do this. But can you imagine not having that? When I think of that, I go, no wonder the guy gets out of his car and takes pictures of my van. Like, no wonder he's so mad. He has no hope. And if I blow up on the guy, guess what? He's not going to have any more hope than, he's going to have way less hope. Because if the Christians are, you know, anyway, so we need to be understanding. Oh my. Understand that we're complicated, people are complicated. Sometimes people just, they hurt us, but they don't mean to. They sin against us, they didn't even try to. I mean, it was just a whole lot of things converged and they just kind of blew up on you. We just need to go, I get it, you're human, I'm human, it's done. Forgiven, totally. Jesus forgave me of a trillion dollar debt. That $20, not even going to talk about it. It's just fine. Like, if we could do that, I'm telling you, so much of life goes better. But when we get into the habit as Christians of going, give me $20 right now, or I will sue you. I mean, which is, Christians do this all the time. Give me my $100, or I'm coming after you. I mean, every once in a while we'll have the thought, but to actually step in to do it, Jesus said, that is torturous. You will get into a torturous mental, emotional place. Some people will try to find out, oh, was it the devil? Was it, you know, just don't even, we're just all broken. We're human, we're broken. So we need to acknowledge when we're hurt. We need to know it's mostly a personal journey. And we just need to know people are people. They're human, we're complicated, things happen. And I hope that that helps on a practical level. Just let things go, forgive, keep saying I forgive you, forgive from the heart. It loses its power over time. Amen, amen. I think we'll just end right there. And as we always do, if you have a question or two, let's talk about it. Any questions, any thoughts on that?
Can I share a funny video that I saw the other day? It was,
yeah.
It's kind of an older one, but this lady, she was at Walmart, and this guy in the car, he's got some mother. He's like, you know, give me all your money. She's like 98 years old, you know, loves the Lord, and so she starts to tell. Okay.
Wow.
And she continues to tell him about the gospel, and as she gets into the conversation with him, you know, he starts to weep, and so she prays over him, and she says, you know, I forgive you, and I forgive your sins, and I'm going to give you the money that I have right now anyway.
Whoa. Right. Amen.
And then he raised the bar for him.
Yeah.
He said, go and sin no more.
Yes.
And that's like what that lady did. And
yeah, man.
I'm just like,
that's right.
Well, that's awesome.
That's right, man. Hey, that's, I really hope I could do that if I got mugged at 98 years old. Don't mess with 98-year-old saved women. Wow. That's crazy. Thank you for sharing that. Rachel, go ahead.
I just want to clarify for you.
Please. Absolutely.
So it's not really like I can have an ungrateful thought.
Right.
And then I recognize it right away and I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I have been
right.
I'm not entitled and you
Amen.
Have me so much. So then I'm not.
That's right. But my point is there's 1,000 times a day we don't even recognize it.
Right.
It goes right through our brain. We just had a idolatrous thought, lustful thought, proud thought. We don't even know it. It just is flowing through our brain. We just didn't even catch it. All day, every day. And so we're not necessarily held accountable for that, but it's just the reality is it's just that sinful buzz is just going through our mind continually. Sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do and we choose righteousness. Sometimes we recognize it and we don't choose righteousness. But there is just a perpetual urge to sin within us. And, you know, so it's not like we have to think of that all the time, but it's just to know we are depraved sinners that have been saved by grace. And that sin nature and that desire to sin is always going to be there. And so we're never, though we're fully saved in one sense, we're also battling against our old sin nature. It's both. And so we never want to get to a place where it's like, oh, we're good, you know. No, it's a battle. And we're not righteous in any other, for no reason other than Jesus gave his righteousness to us. If not for that, all we have to offer is sinfulness. So that was kind of my point there. But you made an excellent point as well. Right. Amen.
And I didn't feel so poor anymore. Even when people leave me being filled up because, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please.
Right. So it's just like, you know, the only requirement for salvation, you know, is believing the Lord. Christ, you know, and like that he died and rose again, he is the Lord, and you believe in him until righteousness, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like having that relationship, you know, gives
right.
us that gift.
Amen. So that's right.
But yeah, I think it's like we always, you know, I think the hard part about, you know, what we do in churches and what we do, you know, as Christians and you know, just being children in our own sense is, you know, we talk about the enemy so much that we forget to talk about just the greatness of God.
Amen.
How it overshadows all that.
Yes. That's good. Yes, amen. Great points. Any other questions or thoughts? Anything to clarify? Hey, amen. Amen. Well, thank you. I'm glad you pointed that out, Rachel. It's God doesn't want us to live condemned, you know, for all the sinfulness that is still operating, but he wants us to be aware. He wants us to be humbled by it. You know, Paul the Apostle talked about, he recognized that there was a desire in him to do righteousness, but there was also this other law working, this law of sinfulness that he had this kind of, he was torn, always torn to do good or evil. Even though he was a mature apostle, saved, there's still that war. And it's I think it's to humble us. All right, any last thoughts, questions? There's usually one. One last one. I'm going to wait till it's really awkward. I like to tell the story of my literature teacher in college who literally waited. He just kept saying, "Are there any questions?" Kept doing that for like 20 minutes. He kept going. It was like going to be the whole... And then finally someone was like, "Geez, I'll..." Yeah, it was so funny. All right, going once, going twice. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much, God, for your word. Lord, we're asking that you would help us to be people who, Lord, we remember how much you've forgiven us and we forgive others. Lord, I pray that there'd be no one here, no one in the GP Hop community that would go into this holiday season, Lord, and harbor any grudges with family or friends. Or I just pray that we would get breakthrough tonight. God, I pray for the church even throughout the city, Lord, that there would be a move of forgiveness, Lord, true forgiveness, letting go from the heart, Father. I pray that you'd remember us, you'd remind us tonight of how much debt you've forgiven from us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to in turn demand that others pay our debt, Father. Lord, we're praying tonight. I pray for strength tonight. I pray for grace for all those who have people coming to their minds, Lord, or they just need to work through forgiveness in another level, Lord. They need to let some things go. They need to walk this out. Lord, I just pray for grace. I pray for your grace, Lord, to come right now. Lord, I just want to say tonight, I'm so grateful that my debt is paid. Lord, that $1 trillion debt that would not, there's no way it could have been paid, but you paid it, Jesus. Help me. Help everyone here, Lord. Help the church to just let those things go, to forgive others. Oh, I just ask you tonight that we would be strong in forgiveness. We would be set free of any self-righteousness. Oh, Father, root us and ground us in love, Lord. Tonight, I just speak forgiveness over the body of Christ. Anyone that has hurt me or anyone that has hurt any believer, anybody that's hurt the church, we forgive you. We forgive those who've hurt us. We forgive leaders, and we forgive neighbors. Lord, we forgive. Let this be something we walk in, God. Maybe people are going to come to mind tonight. I want you to speak out Say, I forgive you. And keep saying it. Say it day after day, week after week, month after month, and those emotions will lose their power. It will become part of your testimony. You'll help heal other people because of what you have let the Lord do in your life. Oh, we choose to forgive tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.